Welcome to Launchpad, the unique radio show and podcast that celebrates new book releases and the authors that created them. Now, let's take off with your host, Grace Salmon.
This is Launchpad. Welcome to episode 38 of Launchpad. I'm so excited today to welcome four outstanding authors, Terry Lee Carruthers, Susan J. Godwin, Sophia Quidu, Giles, and Jennifer Silva Redmond. I'm so excited to have each of them. So today we're going to set sail, fall in love, travel through time, flee for your life, discover feminism then and now, and connect with sorcerers and Greek gods, all in this episode of Launchpad. We're going to discover a new author, hopefully for you, and you're going to fall in love with your next great read. This program is filmed in front of a live audience. If you are joining us live, please feel free to say hello. We do have viewers with us. I see we have Barbara Conry, the USA Today bestselling author. So thank you for joining us. Please feel free to add comments, make questions. We're just so happy you're here. And on behalf of Mary Helen Sheriff, the author marketing coach, and myself, let's dive right in to Launchpad. Today we have Terry Lee Carruthers in her book, Vivi's Secret, Susan Goodwin with Rain Dodging, A Scholar's Romp in Search of a Stuart Queen, Sophia Quidu Giles with her book, An Unexpected Allies, A Greek Tale of Love, Revenge, and Redemption. And last but not least, we have Jennifer Silva Redmond, Honeymoon at Sea, How I Found Myself Living on a Small Boat. Welcome to each of you.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
We're so excited to share each of your books. Let's start right away with Terry Lee Carruthers. Vivi's Secret. Tell us about it.
Vivi's Secret is the story of a 13-year-old refugee who flees 1956 Hungary with her parents, and she's forced to leave her beloved cat behind. And it's something that will just haunt her for the rest of her life. When her father sends her to America, he entrusts her with a butcher paper wrap package that carries a family secret. And it's a secret that she will guard for the rest of her life. It's based on a true story. This is Vivi, my friend. I make an appearance in the book as well under the name Lee Ruthers. The interactions between us in the latter chapters is exactly the way Vivi and I met and how our friendship developed through the rescue of and socialization of feral cats. She lived just a few blocks over. We inadvertently met through the adoption of one of her cats. And I never knew in the 10 or so years that I knew her, I had no idea of what her past actually was. And as I say, like 4 hours after she died, I learned this incredible secret. And I thought, this needs to be shared. And the novel actually started as a picture book. And it went that way for about 9 years before I finally listened to what people were yelling at me that this needs to be a novel. And so it took 16 years from birth to publication. And I'm just really glad that her story is out there and maybe shared.
Oh, I'm so glad that you're going to share it and more of it with us as we move through today's episode. Thank you to everybody who is joining us. Please feel free to join in on the conversation. Thank you again. Susan J. Godwin, please tell us about Rain Dodging, Scholar's Romp in Search of Stuart Queen.
Thank you, Grace. Hello, colleagues. I think I was 42 or 43 when I decided to return to grad school for a second master's, and I attended Vermont's Breadloaf School of English. Breadloaf has a glorious option to study at Oxford, and I grabbed at the chance, you can imagine. It was remarkable. I was writing my last paper and researching a 17th century female poet by the name of Anne Finch, when I came across a lesser known queen of England, an Italian princess named Mary of Modena. Well, Mary had several women writers in her court, and I was fascinated. I wanted to know how this came to be, a court of female writers in the 17th century. So Rain Dodging chronicles my adventures through England and Scotland to unearth Mary's real story. And I also had the great opportunity while there to delve into Oxford's book archives. In fact, I write about the time a 1714 copy of Anne Finch's poetry was in my hands, and I had to put it back into the archival envelope. I just couldn't handle it. And I walked around the library for a little while. It was just that kind of moment. So finally, throughout Rain Dodging, throughout my romp, in addition to the travel and the royal history, I weave parallel stories of what I call my own messy feminist path. Some of the stories are funny, not, but they're all entertaining.
That's absolutely wonderful. We do have more and more people joining us. It's so glad to see Meg Nocero here. Meg is an amazing supporter of authors and an author in her own right. She constantly inspires us. So Meg, thanks for joining us. And she thinks Sophia is amazing. So let's go with Sophia Quidu Giles and tell us about Unexpected Allies, a Greek tale of love, revenge, and redemption.
Well, it's a Greek talking about Greek myths. It's a match. I grew up in Greece and roamed in places that had archaeological sites, museums. We were taught in schools. It was part of our everyday life, and assumptions about mythology were natural. So here I am in America, and it dawns on me, I have a lot to say that comes from my heritage. Circe is the character that intrigues me. She is in Homer's Odyssey. She's an enchantress. She's one that knows a lot about herbs, very wise. But she's very one-dimensional in Homer. So that gave me the opportunity to take her on and have her participate in adventures that roll out in the myth of Glaucus, in the myth of Scylla and Charybdis. And it's a tale about a woman in search of love that tries to sort out what she can do that is good in the world, not just change people into pigs, which is what she's known for.
I'm already learning. And last but not least, Jennifer Silva Redmond, who has what I think is just an extraordinary life living on a small boat. She wrote Honeymoon at Sea. Tell us about it.
Well, Grace, thank you for having me. Honeymoon at Sea is a memoir of a young actress who at age 28, that's me, married the love of her life. And we took off on a 26-foot sailboat from San Diego to Cabo San Lucas. That was our first jump, about 1,000 miles. I knew nothing about sailing. And we headed up into the Sea of Cortez, where we spent not the 3 months that we planned, but a year in Baja Sea of Cortez, where I fell much more in love with Russell. I fell in love with Mexico and the Mexican people. And I'm Mexican-American, but I'd never been south of Ensenada before that. So it's a story about that, but it's much more than a travelogue. It's the story of what led me there. So it goes back to my childhood. It goes to my career in acting, goes to my own messy feminist journey. So it definitely shines a light on all of that, but it becomes truly an origin story of how I became a writer, how I started expressing myself creatively in different ways without an audience, though sometimes an audience of one. And so it becomes that origin story of how I became a writer and an editor, which is my day job. But it also follows us on through the Panama Canal into Florida And we actually are still living on a sailboat 35 years later, and the honeymoon continues.
I just think it sounds so romantic to be able to do that, but I've spent time on a small boat and it's not easy. So.
It's not all romance, that's for sure.
It's not. If anybody who's watching us has questions or comments, please feel free to add those. If you are showing up on my screen just as Facebook user, it means that you're not registered with StreamYard. So please feel free to put your name there as well so we know who's making the comments. Terry, let's go back to you. I'm fascinated because Vivi really lived a life that came out of trauma and had to leave her cat behind. And you got to hear her amazing story. Tell us more about that.
Well, actually, I did not get to hear her amazing story. I read her amazing story. All I knew when Vivi died was she had this incredible secret, which just about knocked my socks off when I read it, when I discovered it. I knew about, at that point, I also found out about her family because she'd always told me that she had no family. She had been adopted and she had no birth family, but I learned the truth, what had happened about that. And I knew that she was a perennial student at UT. Even she was in her 60s and she was still working towards a doctorate in computer science. And I took those, but I focused on the cat rescue aspect and what I considered to be what really led her forward is that this cat that she had lost, and how she saw herself in the feral cats on the street, because that was how they survived when they fled Hungary. I mean, they were fighting to live in the wilderness and to journey on, just in their daily existence and scrounging for food. And that's what she saw in the feral cats that led her into cat rescue.
That's an amazing slant on that. I'm glad you pulled that together for us. Susan, you have an amazing story because people don't know a lot about the side of the story that you chose to tell. How did you choose these aspects of finding your Stuart queen? The feminism, the writing, some of the other aspects you bring forward.
Can you be more specific?
Well, you know, I think that as you talked about finding Mary Stuart, you were talking about how it's irreverent. It's just a different slant than us watching, for example, PBS.
Right. Absolutely. you know, the way
which I love watching PBS, but
the way I weave the memoir through, I think, is unique and gives the story added dimension. I had a pretty traumatic childhood and young adulthood, and I think a lot of women can relate to that. And you know how through resilience, you know, you can come through it.
Oh, beautiful. Sophia, talk about trauma and secrets and drama. I don't think there's anything better than the Greek tragedies and the mythology to pull that together for us. So you said that Circe's was the one you really focused on. It was convenient that she wasn't well played out in Homer. But why does she have an attraction for you?
She is a woman that does not hesitate to engage with the world. Although she's a goddess, she engages with humans. And she takes a position she likes, she does not like, you know. She has all the qualities of people of today. So she represented an archetype of a woman of adventure, of curiosity, of engagement. And that's what got me started with her. When I started writing, I had no idea where I was going. So the writing itself was an adventure for me, finding the next myth, finding the next character. How are they going to talk to each other? It was a great experience because this whole thing was written during COVID. It kept me wonderful company.
As does our writing. I want to get into origin stories in a minute, but not before hearing a little bit more about from Jennifer, because I love that you write in your blurb about your book that you really found out, you know, all sorts of things about living on a boat, what living on a boat taught you. Can you share some of those?
Well, I think the number one thing for me was it was not just a geographical change, it was a cultural change, because I was not only transported from New York City, where I'd been waiting tables trying to be an actor, but I was suddenly in a different country. I was living completely a different life. So I was living on this small boat far, far, far from a big city. And all of a sudden I was looking around and saying, okay, what can I bring to this? What can I learn from it? So I, of course, I'm a Southern California kid. So I love the water and I love snorkeling and I love diving. But I learned that I could find scallops. I learned I could find clams. I even learned how to spear a fish underwater. And I became like this nice, you know, make love, not war hippie kid, became quite the little hunter-gatherer. And that was fun. But I also really loved the people that we met in Baja. They were so warm. It sounds like such a cliche, but they were so welcoming and so kind. And I started really seeing my grandmother and her aunts and my cousins in that part of Mexico we call East LA, where I'd grown up. And all of a sudden I was seeing that in these people. So it was also bringing me back to my family and my own personal history. And like Sophia said, you know, writing about a country that you love, that you're from, even if you're kind of from, as I was, a different country. So I was finding my roots in a funny, funny way.
One of the things I love about Launchpad is my TBR pile grows every single time we do an episode. Jennifer, I want to start back with you before I ask the others. You talked about your origin story as a writer, and I'd love to hear from each of you about why it became so important for you to write these stories. Jennifer, let's start with you, since you were the one who pointed out our stories of origin.
Okay. And first, I want to say to Barbara Conrey, thank you for saying you love my story. And I'm, you know, very thrilled to hear that from a wonderful writer like yourself. So thanks for the comment. So I was, as I say, you know, transported from a big city where I was going to auditions and I was working as an actor to suddenly playing to the void. I was, you know, reading things out loud to my husband, kind of to keep my hand in. I was, you know, singing to myself as I walked. And I started thinking, I still wanted to be a creative person. I feel like I'd always been a creative person. So I was writing in my log each night. So I would look back on things that I had written a couple of weeks or months before, and I'd start saying, how could this be something that would be interesting to other people? How can I bring this story to a bigger audience, as it were? And so I started exploring, you know, turning them into essays, turning them into articles, turning them into even poetry occasionally. And then eventually I started selling those and found that, in fact, other people did relate to trying to live simply in a small space. And I think now that readership is even bigger, as the simple life and the van life and the simple living and small living has become such a thing. So that's lovely.
And that's your origin story. I love it. Indeed. I want to go now to Susan, because Susan, you were open enough and kind enough to share about your own personal trauma. And we have a comment about that. That's how great it was for you to be able to write through that trauma. So what's your writing story? What prompted you to write this book, if you will?
You know, my first memory of writing was when I was 7 years old in Cindy Meyer's basement. But I left it behind. I was a teacher, first K-1-2 and then middle school English. And so when I went back to school, I really discovered the joy of writing. I'd never really thought about it that way or experienced it that way. And so, hell, when my daughter was born, I only have one child, and she's in her late 30s now. When Jesse was born, I said, I'll always have time to write, but, you know, I want to be a mother. And then when I was teaching, I said, you know, I'll always have time to write, you know, during the summers. So I never really committed to it, if that makes any sense, until I went back to school and, you know, not only, you know, as I said, just discovered writing, but discovered that joy.
There is some buzz that just happens when we write, isn't there? There's some, for me at least, an indescribable buzz when I'm writing and doing it well. Terry, your book was 18 years in the making, if I remember.
16.
16. Didn't mean to draw it out longer than it was.
Please no.
So we know what your inspiration was when Vivi passed, you found her papers. And it went through different iterations. But why was it so important for you to tell it?
Because it was so incredible I was trying to juxtapose how the Vivi that I knew was this other Vivi. And she had this whole secret aspect of her life that she kept from almost everybody from the time, except from her adoptive parents, from the time she was 13 up until she died in her early 60s. And that just was incredible to me. And, you know, we would talk for an hour and a half at a time when we were in rescue, either on the phone or we'd meet up in the vet parking lot. And she just seemed this very unassuming person. And to know that she had this life and this past was just incredible. And I thought her story needed to be told. And the interesting thing is, I'm a career librarian. I will start my 46th year in May. And so I do my research, and it's like everything has to be right, which is what took me so long. It took me about 5 years really to write the novel version, because I wanted to make sure that all the background information was correct. But the workstation that I'm sitting in and the chair that I'm sitting in they actually came from Vivi's house. I have Vivi's furniture here. And after I wrote this, of course, there are a lot of aspects that I just had to be creative and write and put these experiences in. And I was contacted by a couple of people, and they said, "If the woman that you're writing about, is that Vivi Babb?" And I said, "Yes." And incredibly, I found out that some of the stuff that I had just made up out of thin air was actually happening in her life. So I feel like Vivi guided me through this whole experience.
I was going to say, sounds like you channeled her for sure. Sophia, I love that you said that your writing kept you company during COVID. But what prompted you to write this incredible tale? With a new spin, we should also say that it has a contemporary spin on it.
Yes. I can blame my grandmother, Athena, who was known for making up stories. When I was a kid and it was nap time, she would come and make up a story, and pretty soon I'd fall asleep. Well, it turns out I'm a grandma too. And I have read a lot of stories to my grandkids as they are growing up. Now they are teenagers, no more telling them. I have to tell stories. That's how I grew up. I worked in social services, and I wrote a lot of stories of trauma and adventure in life. So why not Circe? Why not tell a story of another adventurer? And in a way, I am one. I left Greece. I came to America. It has been an adventure, a good one. I wanted to share that and be a connector of my origins to where I live and am today.
Each of your stories is so compelling. I'm so excited. And some of you are with She Writes Press, where we've had wonderful experiences. Others are with Black Rose Writers. Jennifer's with a separate press, but has worked with She Rights Press. So let's talk a little bit about the importance of the presses that we're with. Jennifer, let's start with you.
Well, I have a wonderful publisher, Rebecca Eckler, and she's from RE, as in Rebecca Eckler, RE Books, as in Regarding Books. So that's based in Toronto. And she actually was looking for unique stories of women living adventurous lives or something like that. And so I sent her my first 50 pages and I didn't hear anything back. And so eventually she came back and said, yes, I like the first 50 pages. I want to read the rest. So I sent it to her. Then I didn't hear anything back for a long time. And I actually emailed her like a writer will do, saying, what part of it, where did you lose interest? And she came back and said, no, I didn't lose interest. I actually want to publish your book. They had just lost someone from their calendar. And she wanted me to publish the following year, but instead I got slotted into September. So it came out in September from ReBooks last year, and it has been a wonderful ride. And I'm excited about going to find out about my Canadian route sometime when I go up to Toronto. Oh, also wanted to thank the person who came in about having lived on a ship. And yes, sailing people are warm and friendly. And that's something people always comment about my book, how we talk about the community of sailors and cruisers. And it really is an incredible community. And I'm still connected to it around the world. Thanks.
Thank you. Susan, you are with She Writes Press, I believe. Let's talk a little bit about the importance of your press and how it shaped your writing journey. And then we'll go to the other three as well.
I discovered them at the Women in Publishing Summit 4 years ago, and I needed to know how the industry had changed and decided to go hybrid. That was the best fit for me. And She Writes Press is for women by women. It was just a no-brainer for me, honestly.
That's perfect. Terry, you're with Black Rose Writing.
Yes, ma'am, I am. And when I finished Vivi, I was looking through the Writer's Digest for children's author submissions, and Black Rose Writing seemed to be the one that was most open to submissions, because I didn't want to end up in another slush pile to sit there for months and months. And I sent it, and a month later, they offered me a contract on it. And so Vivi's Secret came out in right in the midst of COVID, July 2020. It was my debut novel, and they since in 2022 published my book, The Fateful Dog.
Oh, wonderful.
It's a Civil War story that is based on a true story.
That's fabulous. I'm so glad you shared that other book. Sophia, also with She Writes Press, I believe.
Yes. I started out the usual way of approaching five different publishers. What struck me about She Writes is that in their letter inviting me to join, I could tell that they had read my book by the comments they made.
Yes.
That made them the top choice right there. And also they subsequently published my memoir first. So I'm connected. I know how they work. I have learned a lot about the publishing industry through all the information and the collaboration that helps each other. We help each other. We talk, we share information. So I have this, which is the first in the series, The Unexpected Ally. And this one is the sequel that is coming out in a year.
Yay.
So first show of the cover.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
A sneak peek.
Yay. Well, I always find Launchpad so inspiring. Launchpad indeed inspired three. This show inspired three different books: Launchpad, the countdown to writing your book; Launchpad, the countdown to publishing your book; and Launchpad, the countdown to marketing your book. These are all anthologies, and you can find out more about them at launchpadradio.com.
And we know that marketing is where the hard part starts.
Oh, that's right. It is hardest for all of us. And it was such a joy to work with those 14 authors and Mary Helen Sheriff on that particular volume. I want to thank each of you, Terry Lee Carruthers, Susan J. Godwin, Sophia Guido Giles, and Jennifer Silva Redmond. Everybody, I thank you for joining us. Have a great afternoon, and thank you so much for joining us here on Launchpad.
Thank you, Grace. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
This episode is copyrighted by Grace Salmon and Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Thank you for visiting with us on Launchpad.